for April the 5th, we talk about the Metal Gear Solid 5 announcement, BioShock Infinite, and Oregon Trail. Welcome to the 17th level. My name's Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Moneysmith.
Ben Merkel.
And welcome to The Level, a podcast for people who love video games. I'm really sorry about last week's episode coming out this week or whatever. We recorded it. I was high on painkillers because I just got into a car accident. I had spent the previous day in the emergency room. You know, also I moved last week. I'm in a new studio, if you can't tell by the acoustic fingerprints of this location. You know, lots of stuff happening in life and the world and all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, that came out. This one should come out on time, hopefully, if, you know, I don't get into another car accident in my sweet new whip.
call it that again, wow. And I'm quitting the podcast.
So, how long have you been waiting to say acoustic fingerprints?
Well, what you don't know as a listener is that this is the second time we recorded that this segment because of technical difficulties. I think I said it before too.
Yes.
Trying to recreate, yeah. Only you can't because I'm actually a person now and not a robot.
Yeah.
Although I will say you have much more confidence or much more ease. I don't know if it was just because it's the second time or not, but I'm thinking it might be that Dennis is your muse.
He is the rock upon which I rest. Yes.
I bring an aura.
We'll put it in the post roll, but it was a fucking mess is what it was. So why don't we go and no, it's fine. Why don't we go and do the brief thing? It's time for the brief where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games and video game accessories. So does anybody have a story that they want to advance?
I do.
Do it.
All right. Over the weekend, I saw a trailer for the next Metal Gear Solid game. Yeah, it's a solid game. Yeah, Metal Gear Solid. And it'll be the fifth one of the series. But I believe this was also a story that you had some information on too as well, Cole.
Yes. So Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, they put out that trailer and it got a lot of, you know, it's a Metal Gear game. So people are going to pay attention to it. The most notable thing for me, is that, Snake talks and it's not Snake. It's not David Hayter, the voice actor who played him for the past, you know, 15 years or so.
It's
right?
Bill Hader, noted comedian.
Wait, no. But have it.
No, I think you're thinking of John like, Hader from Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, I screwed that one up.
Haven't there been like 8 snakes in the series by now?
But they've all of the solid snakes and Big Boss and everything have been voiced by David Hayter. The only snake who wasn't voiced, well, I suppose Solidus Snake was not voiced by David Hayter. But he, you know, the main character of the series has always been voiced by this guy, you know, real talented dude. He's a screenwriter. He's a director. Blah blah blah. But yeah, he Konami never approached him about doing the role.
Wow,
which is like the most dickish way. And he went to Twitter and he wrote, "If it were my choice, I would do this role forever." To hear anyone else's voice coming from Snake's battered throat makes me feel a little ill, to be honest. But the truth is, it's not my choice. Any and all casting decisions are the sole purview of Hideo Kojima and Konami itself, and that's fair. So that's reasonable, I think.
That classy.
Yeah, classy. You know, he's not like saying, "Fuck Konami." He's not doing that. It's, you know.
He's just letting
although
the
hearing
him
say "fuck Konami" in the Solid Snake voice would be totally awesome.
Oh man, I don't know. I don't know. He goes on to say, "To be clear, I love being a part of the world of Metal Gear. I admire its technological innovations, the gameplay, the political message of it all. But primarily, I love the fans of these games." Two grown men burst into tears upon meeting me at the Vancouver Fan Expo last year. Now that is a rare and excellent role. You know you're making an impact, and I love doing it. So I just, man, anytime you see him talk, and anytime just like just he seems like a solid bro, right? I don't know. I just feel bad.
What is 15 years as one of video gaming's most prominent characters net you? Like, is this dude doing just fine or money wise?
I don't know. I mean, he does a lot of work. Like he was the screenwriter for the first two X-Men movies, I think, something like
that.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, he's relative. Like, voice acting is almost like a side gig for him.
Huh.
Yeah. Ah. So I think he wrote a spec script for the Watchmen movie too, something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he's prolific. He's not, you know, he's not resting on his laurels. It's not like this is his sole, you know, source of work or income, but I don't know. That just to me, that's more interesting than any. Okay, it's more interesting than the game itself. I did not watch the trailer. The trailer might be the most awesome thing in the world.
Ben,
it's interesting. Okay. So the interesting thing about it is the time frame of where it takes place. So this is it's following Big Boss, and it's after Metal Gear Solid 3, Peace Walker. And it's at it's after Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater, and it's also after Peace Walker as well.
Okay,
but it's still before all the original SNES games.
NES / MSX, the PC Engine games.
Okay,
yeah,
it's before those, before all the PlayStation games and whatnot.
Right.
So you kind of know where the story's going. And so this game might perhaps be a bridge between those two things.
So this is him like establishing Outer Heaven and becoming the villain.
Perhaps.
Maybe.
Don't know.
Well, it's called The Phantom Pain, and The Phantom and The Pain were both two bosses in Metal Gear Solid 3.
Huh.
The Phantom was one?
Wait, no, the Sorrow. No, it wasn't The Phantom, sorry. Oh, so disregard that. I was looking for connections where there were none to be found.
Legitimate fan theory.
Oh man.
So how long do you think it'll be before we have a gamers.txt explaining to everyone that this is totally irrelevant because only the Japanese voice acting is canon?
This is the okay. So there is Japanese voice acting. Or is there? I forget. I need to check. I don't have the demo disc anymore because I thought that it was like a Resident Evil situation where they only had the English voice acting, but that might not be the case.
At least on the one for, I think, PS2, one where you like start out invading the ship or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I know when I played some of the demo, which is the only of the series I've played, there was Japanese voice acting.
Yep, you know what? You're right. I remember because they were saying a brand of plastic explosive, and they went Simitex. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, they didn't do it as offensively or as racist as I did, but
I always like hearing some of the foreign voice acting simply to see like what different cultures' idea of how the same type of hero would sound.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, go back, watch every Pixar movie with the different like voice acting. It's hilarious.
Yeah. So this is the thing. It exists. Do we know if it's coming out for PlayStation 3 or 4, Ben?
Oh, I do not know off the top of my head.
Or Vita. One dun dun.
It's a Vita exclusive.
Like, I mean, technically, if it's for PS4, then it is for PS Vita.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because everything will be everything to everybody.
Wait, yeah. What? Are we singularity-ing?
Yeah, yes. We are singularity-ing.
At least within the Sony consoles.
Yes.
According to one website, it looks like it'll be PS3 and Xbox 360, but I'm going to double-check that.
Huh. Is it being developed by Platinum? And is it also terrible?
I never understood why third party developers would develop single system.
I mean, they're not developing single system. I mean, it came out for everything. I think it came, and by everything I mean Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. I'm speaking specifically about Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. I don't think Platinum has done anything exclusive.
See, I thought most of them, and granted, this is a series I've had very little to do with. I thought most of them came out for the PlayStation, and then like years later, they'd decide, all right, maybe we'll port it to something else.
That happened with Metal Gear Solid 2, and that was about it. Eventually, three came to the 360, but that was as part of the HD collection.
Okay.
Yeah, and four never broke away from the PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. That kind of took my brief too. So kind of intertwined, as it were. How about you guys? Any scoops?
Well, go.
I was going to say, quick update. Yeah, according to Wikipedia, yeah, it says PS3 and Xbox 360.
Okay, so. Cool. So it's coming out in the next year or so. Yeah. David, what up?
All right. So apparently China has developed a first-person shooter called Glorious Mission that's kind of their answer to America's Army. Which is kind of interesting. One, because apparently it's a propaganda game. You know, this is what the being in the Chinese army is like, except that you're fighting exclusively like NATO style troops.
Okay.
Which is a little worrying. And also, apparently, previously, the Chinese government has stated that, you know, video games are a form of, Western imperialism, and has actually banned consoles in China, which, right. You know, proves that they can't be all bad. But,
jeez. Are you seriously going to do that? Are you? Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Yes. Well, I seriously am going to do that. Continue. Yes.
This is really surprising. Actually, probably the biggest news element is the fact that apparently they're now going to are getting ready to re-legalize consoles in China.
Okay.
So, which presumably would make them a pretty large, part of the market suddenly.
Yeah, I suppose that would make sense if they did that. It's a weird thing where they didn't outlaw PCs over there, and the games that kind of sprung up like China actually was able to dictate some of the content in like World of Warcraft, for instance.
Okay.
I'm not going to make the obvious joke about gold farming or whatever, but like certain things like it's not blasphemous, but it's considered a cultural taboo to show skeletons over there, right? And so, right. And so like there's a special version or a special, skin, there's a special skin on the skeletons, by which I mean, they're not skeletons at all. And it goes along to, with other kind of things where it's kind of like how there's Chinese Google, they're able to dictate that content. So I'd be curious what that would do. For if a console game got really popular, would that have any ramifications on the stuff that they would publish here too, right?
Yeah, good point.
And that's going to be huge on that market.
Yeah. Ben?
Yes.
I was just curious if you had any thoughts. Yeah, so Glorious Mission, killing NATO style troops. I don't know.
Is that like the Chinese equivalent of Nazis? Like,
I guess. I don't know. I get uncomfortable talking about international politics.
I feel like you have to kind of hold up before, like, you got to kind of put a hold on your judgment.
Yes.
Because, like, I know, like, Modern Warfare 2, you kill Russians. And that could be seen as kind of offensive or, kind of dickish of Americans to do. But it's like you kind of need an enemy of some kind. So, mm-hmm.
I'm thinking more along the lines of like Modern Warfare 2 was meant to be history or not history. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of World of War. Modern Warfare 2 was science fiction, you know, stuff like that, whereas this is designed to be more explicitly, here's, you know, an army simulator.
If you consider Modern Warfare 2 science fiction, it is very thinly veiled science fiction.
Right.
Like, and, I mean, honestly, I think the more interesting part of the story is just I had no idea that consoles were illegal anywhere.
I don't know. You're right. I didn't know until I did some research after playing Modern Warfare 2 that Russians actually exist still. we didn't get rid of all of them after they lost the Cold War.
All those battles in the Cold War.
Yep, pretty much.
The Olympics are there in 2014.
Oh, neat. The Winter Olympics?
Yeah, it's just going to be Putin doing everything versus the world.
Yeah. Dennis, how about you? Got a brief?
Yeah, I've got another big sequel announcement, just not a big sequel game, I guess. Have any of you guys heard of N or N Plus?
No.
Endgame?
Yes.
Yeah, it's known by very, very many different names, but it is quite possibly the best feeling platformer I've ever played. It started out and still is a free downloadable game on the internet. Just search for Endgame, it'll be the first result. They did N Plus, which was like the port to consoles.
Hey, Dennis.
Oh, no.
Hey Dennis, you're sounding a little bit weird.
It's my skin. It's crawling. I can't. Robots.
It's oh boy.
Over.
He's Dennis. Dennis is a robot now.
The robot shoes got him.
Oh yeah. So I imagine he would want me to tell his story, by which we mean his brief story. Thanks so much, Dennis. I'm sorry the internet thing didn't work out.
Don't be sorry. I have no feelings.
Okay, cool.
He's part of the Borg now.
Have a good night, Robot Dennis. Play The Walking Dead.
Good luck. Sorry, everyone.
Bye. Okay, that sucks. So he was saying, it is a puzzle platformer. Really difficult. You play as a little black and white ninja dude, running, trying to avoid traps, picking up coins, etc. There was a version that was released for consoles called N Plus, and they're releasing the penultimate version, which is N Plus Plus, which is coming out for various systems. They're saying that it is going to be the final iteration of this particular game that this company has been playing, you know, has been making for several years now.
Until they make N Sharp.
That's.
So they're saying this will be the end game for end game.
I get, what? Oh, it's not. It's not. It's not end. It's an N. The
N?
Letter N.
Oh.
as in Nancy. Yeah.
M as in Nancy.
Wait, no N. N. So, wait a minute. Yeah. So they announced it at GDC, and they haven't said what any. What any of the platforms are. Was that what you just sent me, Ben? The thing?
I did not send you anything except for a link to a beer at the beginning of the podcast.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, that was Robot Dennis.
That was Robot Dennis, who is...
May God rest his soul.
May he rest in pieces, by which you mean the pieces from which he was assembled. No. Okay, so he sent a link to the story. It was announced at a GDC panel. They said it's going to be the last one. There's no release date, no platforms, no images. But, it's a good game, and it's cool to see that is going to be, continue to be a thing, which is cool. And that was the brief.
The grind.
Time for the grind, I guess.
Yeah, let's okay. do this. Let's get you out of here early.
Sorry, man.
No.
Oh, man, so who wants to do the joke?
I can't do it anymore.
What do you mean you can't do it anymore?
I've lost my ability to ask the question.
Are you turning into a robot, too?
No, I'm not a robot.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, you know.
But
do I need to run a Voight-Kampff test on you?
I mean, you could.
Okay.
You
I need to practice. I need to practice giving my VoIConf test.
I don't even know. What is a VoIConf test?
That's the test in Blade Runner to determine if somebody's a replicant.
Yeah, yeah, that's yeah, right. Yeah. You see a turtle on the side of the road.
Yeah.
I'll just God, freak out.
That's such a good movie.
I've actually never seen it, which, considering my background, is ironic.
That is really funny.
Didn't you like the fact in Saints Row 3 that they named the gang the Deckers?
Yeah,
Decker. Like that is a okay. So Harrison Ford's character is Deckard. Mm-hmm. But Decker is it's a general cyberpunk term that comes from Neuromancer. The deck being whatever your interface with the net is. You know, so okay. A Decker would be somebody who like jacks into the net. And by the net, I mean that Sandra Bullock movie.
Co-starring Dennis Miller.
Was Dennis Miller in that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, in a big way. Oh, no.
That was his big break.
That was his big break post-SNL. Oh, man. So let's grind this to a nub, fellas. Who's been playing what? Ben, I know you've been playing big stuff.
I got two.
You got two.
Yeah, I got a little surprise one in here. Is that okay if I go first?
Go, do it.
So over the weekend, I played all 5 minutes of 30 Flights of Loving.
Yeah?
Yeah. So you played this, right, Cole?
Yeah, I played it and talked about it.
Okay, yeah. I thought so. Yeah, so I played it. Have no idea what I played, but I played it.
See, I've gotten this from a bunch of people. Like, oh gosh, I have no idea what that was. It seems pretty straightforward.
Does it?
like in terms of what happens?
Yeah.
Huh. See, I mean, this gets to be a little bit tricky because like talking about the plot, like giving an exegesis of it. It's literally a 15-minute game. So like I would feel bad going in and ruining it for somebody, you know, except for the fact that it does cost money.
Here's what'll happen. I'll just look up some plot analyses of it after the podcast.
Yes.
And I'll figure out what's what with that game.
Yeah, it tells the story in a really weird way, but it's actually a pretty straightforward story.
Okay.
Wait, yeah. So Is the game literally like 5 to 15 minutes long?
Yes.
Yes. It is a very short game. It was originally designed, made really to be a backer gift for the Idle Thumbs Kickstarter. Remo of Idle Thumbs, he did all the music in it. I think the music is really good. So just kind of like, hey, you know, we'll make this thing. We've wanted to make it anyway. People who, you know, back this Kickstarter, they'll get it early, and everybody else, you can get it on Steam. You know, it's one of those things where it's the sequel to Gravity Bone, or it's a prequel to Gravity Bone. It's in that same kind of realm.
Are there any of the same characters?
I think you play as Gravity Bone.
Okay.
Which is the character? I'm not really sure. Or Citizen Abel is the main character's name. Citizen Abel.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I don't know. I maintain that it's a worthwhile experience. It's regrettable that it costs money. Because of how short it is, not because like, oh gosh, I gave these guys $5 for blah blah blah. Blah. But more just kind of like, oh man, yeah, I feel bad if you played it and didn't like it. Based on my recommendation. Did you like it? It just sounds like you're bewildered.
Yeah, that's pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it was an experience that was similar to Gravity Bone. It was a little bit more refined. It seemed like more time was put into this game, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still, you know, about the same length, perhaps even shorter.
Right.
So I'd say it was just bewildering in the sense that I haven't really thought about it a lot. You know, I kind of had a busy weekend, so I just kind of played it, said, huh, that was a lot of events that happened. I kind of understand how some of them go together, but not really. So yeah.
Whatever. I only got to flight 27, so I didn't get the rocket launcher.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, what?
Sorry. That was the worst joke I've ever made, I think. Tell us about the other thing you've been playing, because I've you were gonna say something.
Yeah, the other thing I've been playing is Bioshock Infinite.
Yes, that little indie darling game, which was a Kickstarter backer gift for having bought.
Yeah, also only 15 minutes long. Surprising, but took them 4 years to make, I think. But
if all of Bioshock is as good as the 15 minutes at the start of it,
yeah.
Oh man, So
it's good. I like it. I think it's a little bit. I'm using the same descriptors here, but I feel like it's a little bit more refined than the initial Bioshock. Mm-hmm. So it's like the same. It's a similar experience as the first Bioshock, except it's kind of been foiled. So instead of being under the earth or beneath the earth, you're above the earth. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about themes of the games? Do you think that would not spoil things?
Like it's like the political structure of Colombia and what happens there. See, you know, I've only played roughly like the first hour, so like I've been on media blackout of this entire thing. I'm sensitive to anybody who might be listening who also was on that but hasn't played it yet.
Okay.
I don't want to stifle what you're saying, so I will say what I've gathered so far in the first hour, which, you know, and you can tell me if that continues to be true, because I haven't even gotten like my sidekick yet.
Okay.
You know, so like Bioshock, you know, like, you know, Rapture was all about, you know, like objectivism gone wrong, you know, things like that. Columbia is about exceptionalism gone wrong. So they like have this hagiographic treatment of the founding fathers, such, you know, like to the point where you're inducted, you know, like the pilgrims are coming to this floating continent in the sky. And they have, you know, they have to walk through the shrine that has Jefferson, Franklin, and Washington. And they are holding different relics, the sword, the key, and the scroll. And these are like the main tenets of this society, which was created to send around and, you know, preach American exceptionalism to all of the world. But, you know, the guy who ran it, Comstock, who was kind of the Andrew Ryan figure of this universe, decided, okay, you know, America's holding us back. We're going to be even more American than America. And everything was kind of set up. So you're going there to find this, you know, to find this girl who's being held hostage. You don't know who's sending you, but they're very violent and things are not right. Is that a good setup for what's happening there?
Yeah, that's good. I would also think that, in addition to the ideas of American exceptionalism, the heavy kind of focusing in on religion and the role that religion plays in society.
Right. I'm not a religious person, but I was uncomfortable with the level of idolatry that was taking place in that. But uncomfortable race, like race issues too. Like I don't want to spoil anything in terms of the event that really kind of sets things off. But
then don't.
then don't. But is it safe to say that having just gotten up to the point where combat becomes a thing, like that first run up gives you such a good glimpse at this world, right?
The combat system just keeps getting better and better.
Does it?
So yeah. So it's basically everything that was fun in Bioshock 1, they've made more fun in this one. The only element that's gone is, you know, like how they had the little girls, like, binary choice that you can make in that one.
Right.
There's nothing really like that in this one.
Right. That felt tacked on and unnecessary, too. I've seen one moral choice. It was related to the game. But I've seen one related moral choice or similar. Does that continue? Like where there are split second moral decisions that you have to make?
There are similar things. I don't know if all of them are timed or not, but right. Yeah, there are some times where you have to where you can make choices.
Right.
Do they do the same good versus evil choices?
No, it's okay, not.
It's murkier.
Yeah, exactly, and it's more integrated within what's going on and in the storyline. Right. So yeah. I guess. Sorry, go ahead.
Is it still a horror game?
I'd say they're like I get a real like Shadow over Innsmouth vibe from it.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think it's tough. I think it's tougher to be scary in this game because since it's taking place in the sky, everything's all sunshine and blue and pretty.
Yeah.
So I don't think they go for as much scare tactics. I think more. I think they do a much better job of kind of building an adventure game and kind of like do a better job of building character development.
Yeah,
that'll be interesting to see because I mean, BioShock was big time. That was creepy as hell.
Yeah,
yeah.
So tell me how you feel about the gore, Ben.
Some of the animations they went with were pretty intense, I guess. The animation style is stylized over realistic,
right.
which is a nice choice because a lot of things I think come off more memorable that way.
Right.
With
your Mechano Gauntlet when you lodge it into somebody's head and it like creases inward. Yeah, that's pretty memorable.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. So I was going to say, coupled with the stylized animation, they made some choices that are kind of in the same vein as God of War sort of animation styles, where it's kind of embracing kind of gratuitous violence. Maybe some people find it. I don't know. Whatever.
Maybe that was the point. I'm just a dumbass. But like that run up where you're walking around, the city, and there's this fair going on, and you see like turn of the century couples just being real sweet on each other and such, and then like when shit turns real, which it's no secret that this is a shooting game, so shit will turn real. Like your first act of violence, like holy fuck. Like it's real out of nowhere. It's a splash of red on like a pure white curtain,
Yeah.
Yeah. It's startling. It's shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you're squeezing your teddy bear and you hear a gunshot off in the distance and its head blows open and there's brains and gore inside. Yeah. Sorry. Still coming down from the painkillers.
So anyway, I'm gonna go play this after we're done with the podcast.
how far are you? I mean, do you get a sense for like where in the narrative arc you are? I don't know any landmarks.
I do not. I'm a couple hours in. I could say some points that I'm at, but I don't really want to. But one of the nice things is there are two other people who've gotten this game at my work. So
yeah,
we've been talking about it and kind of, sharing some of the details that we have each missed,
mm-hmm.
So it's nice to kind of fill in some of the gaps and
somebody else at work at my place of employment has gotten that as well. It's been fun talking with her about that. So
yeah.
Really cool. I can't wait to play more of it. It'll be fun to do more of that. Yep. Yep.
That's all I got.
Did you turn the cover art inside out?
No. Cover inside out.
Do it. The actual cover for the game is a fucking joke. It's real ugly. It's stupid. It's the main character holding a gun. But if you turn it inside out, it's this awesome, like Art Deco, Art Nouveau, illustration of, the Songbird, I think it is. It's really cool. So basically the fan base was like really upset about the cover, and they're like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to print an alternate cover on the inside that, you know, if, when you get the game, you can turn it inside out, and here's this awesome thing that actually is kind of congruous with the rest of this experience, which I think is a really good idea. Like the alternate cover idea.
One thing I want to mention too, I don't know if I mentioned it last week or not. I guess I didn't because I had just gotten the game. But one choice that they make that I think is really good is having the main character not just be a window. Like, it's not like a Half-Life sort of Gordon Freeman experience where when the character's talking to the camera, they're talking to whoever's playing the game. That, you know, like they make a well-defined character that makes decisions that you might not agree with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I feel like that's kind of a more novel decision or something that I haven't seen done in a while or done as effectively as, you know? So I think it's a much more interesting experience because, you know, like you just don't have this empty vessel for a main character.
He makes decisions. You're still controlling him, and I wonder if that's going to be a part of the twist or whatever. Mm-hmm. like to where it's some kind of weird astral projection dimensional shit, just based on some of the quotes that they've put in. But again, I know nothing, so if this turns out to be like prescient, then, you know, kudos to me. There are people out there who are slamming the steering wheels of their car saying, "No, Cole, no, you're spoiling it." I don't know. I really don't. But yeah, I do like that. Booker seems like a really, you know, like if not like a really novel character so far, at least he is likable and you can kind of, you know, you're not just projecting onto a blank slate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I got.
That was BioShock Infinite. I only have one quick one because you took one of mine, Ben,
the BioShock. That's the theme of the night.
Yeah. You're biting my stees, man. So, you know, life she be crazy. I've retreated into iPad games. It's available on iPhone too, but I just want to, you know, kind of talk about it a little bit. It's a game called Oregon Trail.
Oh, that looks pretty good.
Yes. I'm not talking about Oregon. Well, you know, like where Salem is the capital. Oregon, like your guts and your brain and shit.
Hmm.
Your shit is not an organ. I'm just in shit. Sorry. If iTunes wouldn't bleep it, that would be the title. Shit is not an organ. But I don't even know. Okay, so what it is, it's a game that's available for iOS, maybe for Android as well. It is Oregon Trail, but it takes place during the zombie apocalypse. So it's you load up into a station wagon with four of your people. I named them Bill, Hank, Boomhauer, and Dale. You know, and you're trying to get from Washington D.C. to Oregon. So you can, okay. I think so. You can hop on a boat to get over to China or something like that. Just like to get out. I'm not exactly sure why you're going to Oregon. Yeah, you load up into this, you make some decisions initially about what you're going to scavenge before the city's overrun. You only have a certain number of hours to scavenge, and then you set out. And it's real neat. So it's the usual stuff. You see yourself traveling, except instead of a Conestoga wagon, it is you know, your station wagon, which looks like the family truckster from Vacation. things happen, like supplies fall out of the back, and you know, you stop at different cities and landmarks, and you can choose to scavenge, you can choose to do missions, and you know, if you all of the shooting takes place by, you know, putting your finger on the screen and then dragging, and pulls out like a little dot, and you have limited ammo, so every shot that you take, you know, kind of takes away from that. And you have to run around and pick up little items which will contribute to your ability to go. You can stop at these areas and you can trade. So you can say like, "Hey, I'll give you a muffler if you give me five med packs or a certain amount of ammo or something like that." You can take missions, and of course, people can get dysentery, or if they get bitten by a zombie, they'll eventually turn, and that happens.
So I guess the bad news of this game is that the meat's already all rotten.
It's rotten and walking around. Yeah.
That's very rotten.
Like, so instead of, like, getting to a river and, you know, having to cross it, you find a horde of zombies and you have to decide how you're going to proceed. So, like, instead of giving you, like, here are the conditions and here's how strong the river's flow is and blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, there are, you know, this many zombies and they are either peaceful, angry, or, like, furious. And you can either just, like, go through guns a-blazing, try and ram through them, or try and sneak. And it can turn out, you know, well or poorly for you. You're managing the health of not only of your party, but also of your station wagon. And you have to repair it. You have to go scavenge for parts. And it's very possible just to get stranded.
Wait, so can you still afford the zombies?
I think that's ram through.
Okay.
Caulk the you caulk the station wagon. You always ford. Never pay the ferry. Come on. Yeah. It's real neat. It's like an Apple II vibe to the graphics, or, you know, Macintosh, their color, but it's pixelated. Yeah, it has a lot of character to it. I like it a lot.
That sounds cute.
Yeah. I mean, there, you know, not a lot of substance. I'm only in Missouri right now. Yeah. Missouri, which is right next to Missouri. Yeah.
Not many people know about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little known place. It's like when you say I'm in Kansas City. Which one? I'm in Charleston. Which one? I don't know. These cities are weird. Yeah. I still
don't get how Kansas is the the Sunflower State. Like, I don't think anyone goes to Kansas and their overwhelming impression is, wow, they have some great sunflowers.
Hey, well, of course, here in Ohio, we're just tripping over Buckeyes.
I mean, my understanding is that's predominantly historical, but still.
Yeah. So,
what's Alabama, by the way? What's Alabama's...
I have no idea, actually, what our, like, state whatever is. I know our state song is Uncreatively Sweet Home Alabama.
Boo.
I know.
That makes me angry.
Do you like that song?
Eh. Eh.
He slams Neil Young.
He does.
And I don't like that. I like Neil Young a lot.
At no point do they make a convincing argument for why Alabama is worth going to in that song.
All they're talking about is these big wheels.
Yeah.
I mean, they keep turning, but I don't really know.
Well, you know, that's an accomplishment.
I mean, they carry you back to your can, or Trichino is going to be around you. I don't know.
No, I think Alabama's, like, state motto is just Roll Tide.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because of the Crimson Tide. Huh. I'm looking this up. The state flower is the Carnelia. It's unofficially nicknamed the Yellowhammer State after its state bird. It's the heart of Dixie.
That is, in fact, yeah, on all the license plates.
The heart of Dixie. Yeah, herda. Huh. Birmingham, Huntsville. Yes, all of those things are places. I don't know if you go there in Oregon or an Oregon Trail, but boy, Alabama sure is a state. David, what you been playing?
Well, I've been, you know, kind of soldiering on through Far Cry 3 and some Sleeping Dogs, but it's mostly just nothing really noteworthy. However, I have gone back into playing Improbable Island.
Mm-hmm.
Have I mentioned that before, or is that a new thing?
That's a new thing.
All right, it's like kind of like Kingdom of Loathing, except text-based.
Okay.
But the same basic play style. The plot line is that the this mad scientist goes to this island in order to research probability.
Okay.
And he creates this device called the improbability drive, which can cause completely improbable things to happen.
Okay.
Meanwhile, in the real world, humanity finally reaches the technological singularity, and computers become sentient. And in the process, the failsafes release a whole bunch of EMPs, and the world gets bombed back to the Stone Age.
Okay.
And then rebuilds entirely without computers. It's just a real zany setting.
Okay.
But the end result is basically it's a game where they decide that in order to protect the stop the improbability drive, it needs to be destroyed before it, you know, turns the planet Earth into a lemon or something.
Okay.
And they decide that the best way to do this is to kidnap random people, parachute them onto the island, and then fill the entire island with cameras and film it as reality TV as they try to stop the improbability drive.
Huh.
Okay.
Are you one of these people?
Yes. So okay. The core thing is you're one of these people, and you're marching through the jungles of the island, fighting things that range from monsters to zombies to your own shadow. I've fought in my tongue. I've fought in specific abstract game mechanics that are included within the game. And I guess probably the best way to give you an idea of kind of the tone of the game is the wiki for the game is just like any other video game wiki, except that it's mandated that approximately half of any article be lies.
Okay.
Yeah, so you know, any given thing you read in the wiki has approximately 50% chance of being true.
It sounds like the most useful wiki ever.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's much better than your average wiki. But no, it's actually a really great game. You know, it's one of those things, kind of the point, original point of the game is the guy who does it's, you know, a writer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of originally developed to be a exploration of, you know, what's a game like if it's written by someone who actually knows how to write. So even though it's got kind of this crazy harebrained setting, you know, the characters are actually, you know, and the narrative is really compelling. The world's really well developed. Everything's written well.
Mm-hmm.
So. It's worth giving a try just for being quite possibly one of the weirdest games you've probably ever played.
Yeah, that's I'm looking around at it. I'm definitely getting a Kingdom of Loathing vibe from it.
Yeah, it's very very much, you know, it's the same basic, you know, limited amount of plays per level, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Huh. It sounds really zany. It sounds zany. I'm generally kind of averse. I don't know. It's weird where like the idea of like random humor. Like do you get the sense that they're hinting at something bigger, or is it just kind of like, oh, there's going to be a lemon, haha. I really like Hot Topic. Like is it more than that?
Yes and no. I mean, I would say it's, you know, it's not just straight up like, well, it's not always just straight up slapstick random.
Mm-hmm.
I would compare it more to, well, as the fact that the main device is called the improbability drive suggests, I would compare it more to like a Hitchhiker's Guide
type
of zany or like a Discworld type of zany.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense to me. Yeah. Yeah, it's just I'm so skeptical. Just humor is really hard to do right, and Kingdom of Loathing is kind of a high mark to hit. So whenever that's invoked, it's like
I would almost say it definitely, you know, does have, you know, comedy, but I would say it's almost less comedy and maybe more surreal.
Right, right. I think Improbable Germany is one of my favorite Wilco songs.
Which album? Is that a joke?
It is a joke. There, going for Wilco deep cut jokes here on the level. No, it's a song off of Sky Blue Sky called Impossible Germany. So that joke is a couple. There are a couple of levels to that joke's unfunniness, for which I apologize sincerely. Oh man, huh? Neat. Is that all we've been grinding?
That's all I've been grinding on.
All right. The end boss. So there's no multiplayer, so why don't we just jump right into the end bosses? How about me? I've got a new whip. I can say that since Dennis isn't here.
He's been turned into a robot. Actually,
Dennis turned into my car. I shot him with a car gun, and he turned into my car. So got the insurance payout, went out, was looking for a Honda Civic, checked out a Toyota Corolla too, the one Toyota Corolla that I could afford. It was a smoker car, but they didn't say that on the ad, which of course a smoker car might as well be haunted, for how easy it is to get rid of that taint, that plague inside of it. Good Lord, why would anybody smoke inside their car? It was a nice car, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had real low mileage. It was 2011. I don't know. I ended up with a sky blue, or a sapphire blue, rather, Chrysler 200, 2011 used. It was a rental return. Yeah, it's real nice. It's big. It's like a grandpa/gangster car. Like it has an analog clock in the dash instead of a digital.
And I think we know which side you fall on in that category.
Oh, you mean
the gangster side. The
gangster grandpa.
As a side note, we have had a title suggestion, so I'm gonna go with grandpa/gangster car.
Grandpa/gangster car. Why not? I will write it down. But yeah, it's, you know, I haven't had a new car for about, let's say, 8 years now.
That's a while.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a shame that it had to happen that way. But sometimes it's nice to have nice things. So in the past... In the past week, I've gotten a new apartment, a new car, and presumably due to the healing process, some new muscles on the right side of my chest. How about you guys and bosses?
Well, we previously stated that if people liked the podcast, we were going to bribe them by saying some things they wanted us to say on air.
Right, right.
And so in honor of that, I have written a haiku.
Okay. Do we want to do this? Has everybody reported? I think Dennis was the caretaker of that.
I talked to him. We haven't heard back still from the last person.
Okay.
So he's going with it.
Let's go with it. Go ahead.
All right. So it came from behind. Cheeseburger apocalypse. No sandwich survives.
That's really good. I like that.
I also, because I was apparently very bored, wrote one for the podcast, which simply says, "The Level Podcast. It's for people who like games. Defenestration."
God, I really want that meme to die so bad. Oh man, how about you, Ben?
Save us all. A leader like no one before. General Puzzles. Okay, I'm done.
I like that one.
I like that one too. Good on you.
A leader like no one before.
He will save us all.
All my end puzzles or end bosses. All my end bosses are boring. It's just work and BioShock are my end bosses, so
Never mix up those two.
Yeah, if there are any Meccano gauntlets in the man, that gauntlet is just gnarly. It's a mechanical glove. And instead of having like a blade, it's like three like rounded off rods that spin around like really quickly. So it's like if a chainsaw was really blunt.
Yeah, it's like a cross between a chainsaw and a windmill.
Oh, that reminds me of something one of my martial arts instructors mentioned. You know, the idea that, you know, back in the day, it was much easier to heal like a slashing wound because you could just stitch up and the person would heal. So, but, you know, breaking someone's bones, they'd be maimed for the rest of their lives. So it was much better to actually... You know, when they are dueling, they would use blunted weapons.
Oh yeah!
Wow. So. Okay, strike that. That got incredibly dark, really quick.
Yeah, that's pretty grisly, man.
Anyways, back to the buzzsaw.
Instead,
let's talk about video game violence now.
Yeah, as opposed to actual historical violence. Yeah, so instead of stitching it up, want to button it up? Let's do it. That was episode number 17 of the level, or rather level 17. I'm not quite sure anymore. I'll keep the admin stuff brief. You can like us on Facebook. That is facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. You can check out us out on iTunes. Just search for The Level. We're there. Leave us a rating or review if you would be so kind. You can check out older episodes of the show. We've got plenty there, including bonus levels. We're going to have more bonus levels coming out here soon as we try and figure out where that kind of fits in and how we can do more stuff like the Walking Dead episode, which was a real good time and got a lot of great response. Other than that, if you would like to check out a way to support us, you can go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar, use the Amazon link. We get a little kickback whenever somebody uses that. And that helps support things like our blog hosting, hosting this show, buying new equipment, things like that. Things that just generally make the show possible and better. Not necessary, but if you're going to do it, it's a very nice thing to do. We all have individual Twitters here. I will say Dennis's right now. It's DFuria, DFURIA. I assume it'll all be in binary now since Dennis is a robot.
You'll have to convert it on your own time.
Yes. Hint, it's just 80085 over and over again. My name is Cole Ross. You can find me at Cole Ross on Twitter. That's KOLEROSS.
I'm David Meismith. You can find me at MoneySmith777, also on Twitter.
And Ben
just
Merkel.
In case.
In case there's anything else that people are at. And I'm at Merkelizer.
All right. Thanks so much, everybody. Have an excellent week. And I will try to get this out on time. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm David Moneysmith.
Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to the 17th level podcast for people who love video games. I guess we're just the level. This is the 17th level. You heard that in the intro part. I can never get used to that because I record that part after everything is done. So it goes, I guess. Sorry, I'm still bouncing back. You heard me last week, or this week rather. The episode we recorded last week, but I released late because I got hit by a car. I was taking pain medications because I just got hit by a car. trying to get everything back together after that. God, this is a mess. Help me, you guys.
No, you're doing fine, dude.
Run away.
Keep going. No, so we're going to talk about video games. We don't have a multiplayer because I forgot about that. Life is pretty crazy in the aftermath of everything. I'm in a new studio. If you can't tell by the new acoustic characteristics of my end of the conversation. Everybody else kind of has big stuff in their life. So why don't we jump right into it, fellas?
All right.
Yeah. One second. I think I hear somebody knocking on my door. I'm going to go check. BRB.
Don't get mugged.
This can only live end in hilarity.
This is like how horror movies start.
Yeah. We hear gunshots.
I was thinking more a very nerdy version of Taken.
We have a set of skills. None of them involve editing podcasts, but we still have a set of skills.